I was in prayer time and the Lord said, go to Psalms 24. So I get to Psalms 24 and I see something I've never seen before. And so I want to share that with you. I'm going to see if you see it. I'm going to read through here and I'm going to see if you see the catch 22. And then once I saw the catch 22, he went off and run and I couldn't keep the scripture going fast enough. Man, I saw it. I'm telling you, this is something. This is one of those moments, Chuck, this is it. This is our day, crowning the year with goodness. Psalm 24, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart has not lifted up his soul to idolatry or vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That person right there is going to receive the blessing of the Lord, the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is a generation of them that seek him, that seek the face of God, O Jacob. Anybody see the catch 22? This psalm was written out of the revelation of what happened with Jacob. And he said, this is the generation that's going to go before the face of God like Jacob did and seek him. But notice the qualification. Let's go back for a minute and look at Jacob. Remember in Penuel, he comes to Penuel. He's still Jacob. He still has issues. He's still a man of fear. He left Laban in the middle of the day while Laban was out in the fields. He left and took all the wives and all the livestock and he took off. Jacob did a lot of things wrong. He was a swindler, a deceiver. I mean, we know all about him. A supplanter, stole his brother's blessing, stole the father's birthright. I mean, everything he did, he knew. It was all catching up to him. He was still Jacob at this point, but he was still God's man. And so he gets to Penuel. Now Jacob realizes, I'm going to probably die if God doesn't show up. But Penuel, he was in a desperate situation. Esau was coming out, and he should have known when he saw the angels that God was going to do something. But anyway, he gets to Penuel. But look at this. This is where God changes him. What changed Jacob? The blessing changed him. When the blessing came, he goes, I will not let go till you bless me. What was the first thing God did in that order of blessing? Multiplication wasn't the first order. The first order of that blessing is God changed him with one word. He spoke it from the realm of his glory and he transformed his identity from Jacob, the supplanter, deceiver, the swindler, to Israel, a reigning prince with God. He overcame that day, changed his name. He goes, I no longer term you Jacob. I no longer see you as Jacob. You are no longer Jacob. You are Israel this day before me. And that is how I see you. That is how you will walk before me. And he takes him to Bethel and reaffirms his name at Bethel. You are Israel, and today I will now bring a company of nations. Okay, here's the catch. 22. The blessing was what? It was a transformation. But in Psalms 24, it says, who's going to ascend the hill of the Lord? Who qualifies for this transformation? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Except that, how does Jacob become Jacob before he actually becomes Israel? Or like this, how does Jacob become Israel before he receives Israel? Because, watch this, here's the catch 22. How does Jacob ascend the hill of the Lord with clean hands and a pure heart to receive the blessing of clean hands and a pure heart? Because what did God do in the blessing? He purified him. What did God do? He changed him. What did God do in the blessing? So how do I get blessed? See, before I get blessed, there is a qualification to receive the blessing that causes a transformation, right? But I have to have some type of transformation before I receive the transformation. I'm like, God, that is a catch 22. Who's going to send it? You're going to have clean hands and a pure heart. And then you'll receive the blessing of clean hands and a pure heart. Because you'll receive the blessing and transformation. I said, how do I get transformed to ascend the hill of the Lord so I can get transformed? So that catch 22 is what got me going. See, because what did he say? Go back. Boy, every word means a lot. Boy, it opened wide. What did he say? He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and what? the righteousness from the God of his salvation. But you're going to have to be righteous before you receive the righteousness. I said, God, that's not fair. That's not fair. You're asking me to receive a blessing of transformation, but I got to be somewhat transformed before I receive the transformation. I said, how does that work? And see, that's what God, that's how God deals with me. He injects the catch 22, and that got me going. I'm like, as soon as my spirit went over and I started asking him about it, it just went whoosh, and he showed me the whole thing. So what he's saying, that whatever happens here in this blessing, it's going to come upon an entire generation. There is a generation, and we've been talking about this, it's going to receive the transformation from Jacob to Israel to reigning princes, to reigning kings. They're going to reign in the earth, and it's going to happen by a transformational blessing that's going to come upon God's people. It can't be paid for, it's not going to be worked for, but it's going to come upon God's people by grace, but it has to be received by faith. And it has to be seen. So as soon as he showed me that, I saw three operations of righteousness. The first one that we received is what? The operation of salvation, where we are justified by the grace, justified by the blood. If a man confess with his heart, with his mouth, and believes in his heart, he will be saved. The blood of Jesus. When you receive that salvation, God took that blood and he appropriated it. He took your dead spirit immediately by grace, by an act of grace, free gift, and he transformed your spirit and you were born again, a brand new creation. And everybody's still a new creation. From one act of believing by faith and receiving, that was the foundation stone of our righteousness. Everyone say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. But then I saw that that righteousness, there were varying degrees and operations of it. And to prove that today, I'll show you that today. And then I saw there was another righteousness. It's the same righteousness, but it's a different manifestation of it. I saw one for salvation. I saw one for where we are, our position in Christ. And I saw another one, Christ's position in us, in the earth. And I saw a progression in the spirit of where God wants to bring an entire generation into a transformation that we would not otherwise receive without understanding what God's going to do and seeing this transformation and standing on it. And because we've been standing on the word of Penuel and standing on it and standing on it and standing on it, we keep his word. Boy, he opened it. And man, is faith coming alive now. Everything, listen, the just will live by faith. Every place we enter into is by faith. Every place we secure is by faith. Everything we're going to receive is by faith. We have to be people of faith and understand how God's going to do this. He's not going to do it with works. You're never going to be good enough to get this. You're never going to be clean enough to get this. It doesn't matter how squeaky clean you are. It's not going to be enough. You can be Mary Poppins. It's not going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. Look over to Romans 1, verse 17. I see with everything God's going to give, there's a transformation that comes, that precedes it. Everything God's going to do, there's a transformation that precedes. And this transformation is as going to be, watch this, as free as the salvation that you receive. Except, you're going to probably have to exercise a little more faith than you first did. When you first came in, all you had to do is believe, you receive, confess with your mouth, you're born again. But think about it. He took a dead spirit and brought it, an eternally dead spirit, and brought it to life. And it remains in the life of God this day. An operation of righteousness. Now, that gave us the foundation for the next level. Same righteousness, next level. The next level of righteousness is the kind of righteousness we enter into. We enter into his righteousness to, the Bible says, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. It's a righteousness that allows us to move in Christ, to move in the heavenly realms, to receive from the heavenly realms. It's all about being in him. It's an exchange for who we are in the old, for who we are in the new. Even though I'm born again, my spirit's righteous, we have a lot of issues. We have issues with the old man, issues with the old soul. We still have a soul. Don't you wish your soul could have got born again? If you would have just let the soul get born again, our soul could have got born again. I mean, I could handle it. The body would have been a lot easier. But he left the body and the soul, both of them, neither one of them got born again. Because you got to work out yourself. Well, he goes, what would be the fun in that? You get a chance to overcome. I'm going to teach you how to overcome, and your generation's going to overcome death itself. It's going to overcome dysfunction. It's going to overcome death, and it's going to be the prophetic generation that will receive the full operation of the bride that's without spot and without wrinkle. I'm seeing how he's going to do it now. But the first step is we move into the throne of grace. We come in boldly, the Bible says, having therefore boldness to enter in by the new and the living way. Enter into what? He pronounced you as forever perfected. So we already know about this standing. We already know we're in Christ. We already know we're in exchange. We already know we can surrender the old. We can take the old down in the Jordan and we reclothe. The Bible says, put off the old man, put on the new. Say, put on the new. It's an act of faith. You don't do it by your own works. You do it by an act of faith. We have to move into him where he is. In doing that, notice what he says in Hebrews. He says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Now, Romans 1, verse 17 says this, for herein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith. Everyone say faith to faith. It is written, the just will live by faith. But the righteousness is revealed. The righteousness is uncovered like a veil. It's a curtain comes off. When you're first born again, a curtain gets removed. And I'm the righteousness of God. I begin to learn about the new creation. I begin to learn who I am in Christ. That's the first curtain. And then God says, come up higher. Come into where I am. Follow me into the Father. Here's another curtain. To follow me, you're going to have to exchange some things. You're going to exchange some unworthiness. You're going to exchange, but by faith, you have been given access by faith into this grace. You know, there's been people born again for 20 years that don't access anything. They're born again. They are the righteousness of God in their spirit, but they're not accessing something greater. But the Bible says we've been given access into this grace by faith in this grace. It's an access grace. It's an access faith. It's a faith that accesses Christ. We enter into him. We enter into union with him. We enter into his righteousness. We lay aside ours. Because no matter what you achieve at any one point in time, it's still not enough. You're going to have to get into him. You're going to have to exchange you for him. Never are you going to understand, oh, I got it together. I'll prove that to you in a minute. No matter what you do, no matter how things are, here's the thing. You can have someone squeaky clean Mary Poppins, but they don't know how to access anything. But they got a soul that's just perfect all the time. But then you have Jack Daniels. He gets born again. He couldn't control himself and the old man. He can't control the new one. He's got lots of issues, lots of dysfunction. But he has his heart that can apprehend God and lay hold. And he can go in and exchange his dysfunction daily. Which one's more righteous? The one who's identifying in who they are in Christ. The one that's accessing the grace. See, we build on grace. We live by faith in his grace. That's why he said, by faith, watch what he says in Hebrews. He says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. See, we draw near by faith. It's the righteousness of God, which is of faith. The Bible says you are freely justified. Let us hold fast our profession. Now, let me look at Romans real quick. Go to Romans 3. And then we're going to get into transformational righteousness. Now, this, what we're talking about now, is the kind of righteousness that causes you to receive from God. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? He that had clean hands and a pure heart. Well, all you got to do is something wrong, and you just disqualified yourself if you're ascending in your own strength. If you start ascending and you don't have any faith and you're not putting faith in Him, what's happening is you're putting faith in yourself, and you are going to fail every single time, because the only people that can stand in the presence of God are those who stand by faith in what He's done, not we've done. See that? But when we stand there and we make that exchange, like we do going up in the mountain, notice what He says here in Romans. He says, but now, verse 21, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Without a law of right and wrong, it's manifested. The law written in the heart, in the form of righteousness, being witnessed by the law of prophets, even the righteousness which of God, which is what? By faith. It's your continuing leaning on God. Sometimes, even if your soul is all messed up, every one of us born again. See, in the world, you weren't born equal. Everybody, some people are born in privilege, some people are born in dysfunction. It doesn't matter. In the kingdom, you're born equal. But you're going to have to appropriate some things if you have more dysfunction than the person right next to you. You may have a whole lot more dysfunction than the one before you. But everyone can overcome, because it doesn't matter how much dysfunction there is. If you're not trusting in yourself, how do I go up into the hill of the Lord with dysfunction? I did it. I was 17 years in the ministry with a whole bunch of dysfunction. And this faith took me right up into the Father, because I wasn't leaning on myself. I was leaning into Him. I was getting clothed into Him. I was standing in Him. Justified by the grace. I'm justified by the blood. I'm abundantly pardoned. Notice what His word says in Romans 3. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. Verse 25, Romans 3, whom God has set forth to be appropriation through faith in His blood. Say, faith in His blood. Not just the blood of Jesus. It's your faith in the blood. It's your faith in that blood. Because you have faith, man, you can fall apart at the seam and come right back up into the glory. And that blood will cleanse you. It'll wash you. It will set you on a rock, because it's faith in the blood. People will judge, but God, Jesus said, I am not here to judge you. I am your mediator. I'll ever live to make intercession. Come into me. See, it's a different kind of faith. We're not talking about faith for salvation. We're not talking about faith for righteousness. We already have that. It's a different level. It's faith to abide, faith to dwell, faith to enter, faith to move, faith to appropriate, faith to be forgiven, faith to stand, faith to be clothed. I don't walk up, especially if I'm carrying a weakness. I don't walk up and just stand in the glory of God. I got to deal with a weakness. I got to come to Him first. How many of you just blown it sometime? And you go, oh my God, I gotta face God. And you don't want to face Him, so you run for 2 or 3 days. And God's whispering to you, I'm not ready to face you. Because I know He's gonna love me, but I still gotta face Him, you know. And I knew I blew it. I knew it. And I don't want to face Him. Because I gotta go tell Him I blew it. And He'll wait you out. He loves the heart that'll bow before Him. He's gonna give you a little time to run. You're not gonna run, because if you run too long, you'll get in trouble. Because you gotta get it right. He wants to fix it, because He knows even you're running the enemy, you're an open target now. The enemy is going to rend you, so He wants to get that fixed. You got to get it to Him. And He has sozo for all this, but all this is appropriation of righteousness that's in Christ. And so as we go to Him, finally we surrender and said, oh, I blew it. Forgive me. If you get more skilled in faith, you'll find that forgiveness real fast. And I'm not just saying, forgive me, go on. You've got to get dealt with. You've got to shift into the realm of the glory. It's going to be a shift by faith. You have to appropriate the blood by faith. The better you get, if you blow it a lot, you'll get real good at this. Amen. I mean, you get really good at it. Take it from somebody who's read a book on this somewhere. If you blow it a lot, you're going to get real good at faith in his blood. So I get the appropriation. I get forgiven. And then, I mean, you know what that feeling is like? Oh, I'm forgiven. I'm back in his arms. Okay, everything's good again. Praise God. It's all right. Come on. Come up the mountain. So now you shift. It's the same kind of faith, but this is not salvation righteousness. It's a different kind. It's a different manifestation. This is righteousness to go on up into the mountain, come into me, and then you get clothed in him. And now you're feeling emboldened now. Because you come boldly to throw in a grace, and now you're in him. You've been clothed. You've got an exceeding great shield around you. You're wearing the robe. You're wearing the new crown. You're wearing the crown. I'm holy and without blame before him in love. Notice that you went from a sinner to a holy saint, all in this righteousness of faith, holy and without blame. And the more you do it, you'll get clothed. You present me faultless before the... Why? Because he's not presenting you anymore. You're moving into him. You're making the exchange. And as you move into him, you're going to wear his glory, his righteousness, which is always, always, always going to be greater than yours. And that's how you're going to move holy without blame before you. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in your sight. You present me faultless this day before the presence of the eyes of him in whom I have to go. I am. Everyone say this. I am forever perfected in righteousness. You're not going to say that when you just come out of something you had a fall or stumble. You're not just going to walk up. You're not going to walk up in the heaven. God, I am forever perfected. No, you got to bow low. You got to go low first. Amen. You're going to have to appropriate the blood. You got to get forgiven. And then you start walking your way back up into the mountain. You just don't go, oh, I took a spill. I'm the glory of God. No, that's the wrong kind. That's not it. When you take a fall or you blow it, you got to go in low. But he's there for you. He loves us. He'll forgive. We're still in phase two here. This is operational righteousness that's in Christ. It's the kind of righteousness, he said, who shall ascend to the hill, Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. It's the one who blew it but made the exchange. It's the one that blew it who got forgiven. The one who blew it but went back up into the mountain, went back up in there, and now standing in the righteousness of God, clothed in the glory of God. Now I'm ready to receive. It's the kind of righteousness that allows you to receive from God. Because God the Father, first thing he's going to look at you, are you in Christ? He's not going to look at you like you. He's going to look at you in Christ. And when you get situated in Christ, the Father starts hearing you. Because he's not looking at you like the way you look at you. And you have to make that transition. And faith makes the transition to stand boldly in the presence of God. I stand by faith. What did he say? Having therefore boldness, what? To enter into where? The outer courts. That's all for you belongs to you today is the outer court. Come back and see me next week when you get it better. He's talking about holiest of all. You know, where the priest had the rope around him. Said, go on in there, make the atonement. You die, we'll pull you out. Jingle bells. We want to hear the jingle bells jingling. When the bells are jingling, we know there's atonement. We stop the bells, we in trouble. Well, which one are you going to go in and get him? The high priest falls and dies. Which one are you going to walk up into the holiest of all? Come here, little Levite. Go in there and get your high priest. No, thank you. That's the place he's telling you. You can go boldly. Now, how are you going to walk in there? In your own works, your own sufficiency, your own goodness? You're going to have to walk in there by faith. You're going to have to know who you are. It starts with faith in his blood. It started with salvation. Then faith in the blood. Cleansing of the righteousness. Now faith in the righteousness. It's a positional standing I enter into. That gives me access to the Father. That lets me stand in the holy place. Knowing I really shouldn't be here. But I know I'm here because I'm there by the grace of God. Because I'm not standing in myself. I'm covered. Big brother is over me. Jesus is over me. I'm safe. Amen? You don't come into the mountain that can't be touched. You're coming into the city of the living God, the innumerable company of angels, the firstborn. See, that glory, that's phase two righteousness. How many of you know how to move in that realm pretty fluidly? Raise your hand. Phase two, right? Now he receives, watch this, the blessing. Now he said, who shall ascend? Now he gets positioned into the Father. What's he looking for? He received the blessing. Now I got to shift to phase three. He will receive the blessing and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. He's going to receive what Jacob received. He's going to position you to receive in a wrestling match. You're going to get into Christ. You're going to put the old man down and get positioned to receive another level of righteousness. This one is Christ in you, in the earth. This is what I will call transformational righteousness. It's a righteousness that can actually be seen. It's a righteousness that can move in you. It's a righteousness that will transform generational iniquity. It's a righteousness that can take Jacob out of you and put Israel in you. It's a free gift just like salvation. It's a free gift just like the first two. You're going to have to enter into it just like you did the first two. It's a righteousness that's born by faith. It's a free gift. We can't do this. You can cry all day at that altar. You can ask God every day. I can call you to this altar and let's call out to God and ask him to forgive us. But you're not going to obtain this without entering into him and him entering into you. It's a righteousness that brings heaven down to the earth. It causes a mass transformation, a fundamental transformation in who you are. This is what we're on. This is the blessing. This is the Jacob. This is the Penuel blessing right here. Philippians. So Paul, he starts this out. Verse 3, he said, we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ. Look at this, having no confidence in the flesh. If you're going to walk with God in this realm, the first thing that's got to change is confidence in yourself. All confidence has to get shifted into Christ. You'll have confidence, it's just what's going to come out of him. I can't tell you the days that I just feel like nothing when I wake up. I'm like, oh. Have you ever felt that? It's like, oh, I don't even want to get up. And I just get in there and there's a transformation takes place. I come out feeling different. I'm in the glory of God and I'm in this confidence. God's going to do this. Hallelujah. See, that's confidence that comes out of Christ. There's an exchange in the mountain of God. He said, if any man might have confidence, he goes, let me tell you about myself. He says, circumcised the eighth day of Israel, of the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, touching the law of Pharisee. But then they had to memorize the first five books of the Old Testament by the age of what? 5 or 7 years old. Can you imagine? Not only memorize, and then to be a Pharisee, they had to walk out the ordinance. Do you know how much there was to do in the law? You have to wake up and know that it's Sabbath. Because you go out and pick up a piece of firewood on the Sabbath, that could cost you your life. The rigidness, the stringency of doing this. And notice what he says. Touching, watch it, the righteousness that was in the law, Paul said, I was blameless. He goes, you want to talk about confidence in the flesh? You want to talk about somebody who had it together? You want to talk about somebody who was disciplined, the most disciplined man on the earth? I could keep the law blameless. Not many people can say that. That's not just Ten Commandments law. That is every single stringent of the law. Every observance of every feast day, every ordinance had to be observed perfect. Because I was blameless in it. Now think about this. Paul, when he's writing this book, what I'm about to say to you, he's writing this book at the end of his life. This is his final book. He's writing it from Rome. He's sending it to thank them for being a chief support system for his whole ministry. And he gives them this, what he's about to give them here. He goes, listen, if anyone you have confidence, I'm going to share something with you. All of that I achieve is but dung. I traded it for something else. I exchange it. Not everybody. I'm not like Paul. I wasn't like that. I'm the other guy. I'm the one that didn't have it together. Either you have it all together or don't have it all together, it doesn't matter, because neither one of them is acceptable. Because it's not what you do. It's not who you are. It's who you are in Christ. That the Father, and God said, nope, Paul, that won't do. That's not going to do. Or we're going to exchange all that. We're going to unravel all of your confidence in yourself, and we're going to shift it to Christ. That's not easy to do. Now watch what he says here. So think about this. Of all that we can achieve, it doesn't matter. How about the glory of the Mount Transfiguration? That was the Father touching down in the earth. He came down and stood with the Lord on the earth and manifested his glory. The Bible says his face shone like the sun in its strength. His clothes turned white with light. It came from the inside out. Light manifested glory. It lit up his body. It lit up his face. It lit up his soul. It lit up his clothing. Which one of you or me could ever achieve that? It's unachievable in the natural, but it's freely given in faith. But it's going to have to be accessed. This is what the blessing is going to start. It's going to start a transformation that's unachievable by anything we presently have going down here. It's a level of transformation that's going to bring us into the without spot, without wrinkle. Here Paul starts saying it, and watch what he said. Very powerful stuff. Touching the right, blameless. Now watch it. But those things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. And doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now look at verse 9. And watch this. Be found in him. I don't want to be found in myself anymore. I want to make the ultimate exchange to be found in him, not even having mine own, because I can't base my life that I'm living and what I'm wanting. Paul's within his life and he's wanting something. This is the kind of righteousness he was looking for, something. Because I want to be found in him. I want to be found in the power of his resurrection. I want to be made conformable his death in the old man. I want to be found in the resurrection of the new, that I may win Christ, if by any means, watch this, that I may attain the resurrection. You know what he wanted? He wanted that same manifested righteousness that took his dead spirit and turned it to life. He wanted that same righteousness to take his dead body and resurrect it, like Elijah, like Enoch. He wanted the Enoch resurrection. He wanted the Elijah resurrection. He didn't get it, but he wanted it. You know why I don't think he got it? Because I think he was in the foundation and God was signifying there's another age that's going to pay this one. But Paul saw it. If you believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, which I believe, he said, let us go on into perfection. He saw the day that God was going to take a generation and perfect them with a crowning glory that was going to come over a generation of people and take them into the very height and the depths of Christ in the earth, manifested generation of sons and daughters that would manifest the glory of Christ in the earth. Full age glory. He saw a perfection that would come. This perfection is part of this blessing of Jacob that qualifies us, that makes a transformation from darkness to light, that takes, God's, in other words, God says, that's good, all that you achieved in your journey. That was really good, but I have something else. How about Mount of Transfiguration glory? How about that kind of glory? See, God is pointing, well, who could achieve that? Faith can achieve that. It's all about what you see. Just how much does God want to do? We're getting quiet in this Presbyterian church now. See, but when God shows you something, it's like the fish. You see it on the radar. The marlin. Man, he's out there. You want to catch the big fish. When he shows you something, he locks you in and said, listen, what do you think the blessing is? He shall receive the blessing and say, and the righteousness. I'm already righteous. So what am I receiving? Oh, that's a different kind of righteousness. This is one that's holiness. This is one, it's a transformational righteousness, like was in the Mount of Transfiguration, like Paul entered, like Jacob entered into when he transformed the name, transferred the identity, transferred the calling. He transformed everything. And what he meant, it was a free gift. The Lord said it to me. He said, this too also is a free gift. You can't work for this. You don't deserve it outside of me. But it's a free gift belonging to the church age you're living in. And it's going to be accessed by faith. And it's going to begin with a Penuel blessing. And we're going to take that blessing to Bethel. Who's to say this, by the way? That every time Jesus prayed in the mountain, he went apart. Who's to say that that didn't happen every time? Who's to say the Father didn't come down upon him every time? Who's to say he didn't get fully, radically transformed every time? Because every single time, if you'll go look in the Bible, right before a big, massive outbreak of miracles, he was in the mountain. And he come down from the mountain and whoosh. But this time he took them into the mountain with him. I think he took them into the mountain to show them his glory. I kind of want to show you my dwelling place. Let me tell you about my prayer closet. Let me show you what I'm experiencing with the Father. Let me show you what I have really for you. Let me show you something you haven't seen before. God wants to wow you. I started seeing that this Penuel blessing is going to come in stages, but I saw there is a transformation coming to us. It's coming to you and me, this church, this house, our identity. It's going to transform areas we could not transform before. It's going to get up into the soul. It's going to get up into the body. It's going to get up and it's going to root out the old man and put the new man in total charge. It's going to be a manifested glory that can be seen. How about this? Arise, shine, thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Behold, darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but my glory will be seen upon thee, seen upon thee, seen, seen, seen. If it was seen in Moses' day, it was seen in Solomon's day. Once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and the treasures of all nations will come into my house. And the glory of this Latter-day house will be greater than Solomon's. We all with open face, beholding in a mirror, the glory of the Lord will be transformed. It's a transformational righteousness. Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? He has to have the clean hands and the pure heart. I didn't qualify, but in Christ I qualify. So I shift my identity to him. Why? So I can get the other part. The blessing. The transformation. The righteousness from the God of my salvation. I want that righteousness. I want that other wave of righteousness. I want that other wave of holiness. I want that other wave of transformational glory. Where God the Father, how about I and my Father will come make our abode with you. In the earth. What's that going to look like? The same way it looked like with Christ walking in the earth. Manifested Father. Manifested glory. Living Father. Glory that can be seen. Hey, I'm going to go for it. If we got this far, say, how are you going to do that? Don't you know who you were? Yes, I plenty know who I am, but I also know who I am in Christ. I know the old man is dead. I bury him every day. I fully am aware of his capacities. Most of you are aware of some of his capacities as well. But also I'm aware of Christ in me, the hope of glory. But the hope of glory, Christ in me. He goes, I want to come out in my people in this generation. I want to just come out. I want them to see me and you in manifested glory. I want my mantle in your life. In fullness. Fullness. I want the manifested glory. It's going to come by the blessing. I have reserved a blessing for this generation. I have reserved the perfection for your generation. I have reserved a crowning glory. I'm going to take my church out without spot, without wrinkle. I'm going to take her out in glory. She's going to come to the heights. And we're all thinking, how can this be?
It's coming by this transformational righteousness. It's coming when we go into Him and we believe Him for it because we can see it and we lock in. You think I won't let go of Penuel? Oh, Penuel's just the beginning. It's the beginning of the transformation. If we get that, we're going all the way. We're going all the way to transfigurating glory. Once Penuel comes, how do you know you're going to get it? Because I'm not going to let go. We got the rest of this mountain the same way we're getting this one. We will keep His word until He manifests it. He that keepeth my word, verily my Father's love will get perfected in all of you. It's a transformational glory. Let me close with this. Man, when I saw it, he said, son, it's a free gift. It's a gift. Go back and read it. He shall receive the blessing and the righteousness. He was speaking of Jacob's transformation. Now watch this scripture. We live by faith and we live by His word. See, this is one of those words that came out of the mouth of God. You don't know what this word did to me. I don't even know what it's going to do to you. But this word just went whoosh because it just showed me what I can have. And once He shows me what I can have, I'm locking in. I'm locked and loaded. I want the transformation. I don't want just the blessing and the power. I want the transforming glory. I want His image as much as I want His dominion. He said, you're going to have My image and My dominion to make it. I want the image that I can't make. I want this free gift change. Look, if He could take a dead spirit and turn it into life, can He take a dead soul, dead body and transform generational dysfunction? Can He do that with His transformational glory? Romans 5:17. For one man's offense, death would reign by one man's fall. Well, let me tell you, I'm going to bring another man on the scene. By much more than they which receive, watch this, the abundance of grace and the gift of transformational righteousness will what? Reign in this earth. This is a transformational righteousness that causes us to reign in this earth. It will cause us to rule. It will cause us to reign. I don't want to be anointed with power and fall before this generation. I've already seen what I can do. You don't even want to know. But I also know what He can do. And I'm not going to lean on my own. I want to lean into Him for the full transformation. I want His image and I want His dominion. I'm not asking for much. I want 100-fold image and 100-fold dominion. I'm not asking for much. And he said, son, all you got to do, get positioned to receive the blessing and the righteousness from the God of your salvation. And they that can receive the abundance of... Look, one man fell and it produced death. And it produced Hitlers and Stalins and some other ones that are alive right now. We won't name them. But if it produced that kind of people, while you're bringing the depths of depravity out, I'm going to bring the glory out. I'm going to bring my people out with the glory of God on them. And they are going to look like me, talk like me, because I have a transformational glory. You got an image? I got an image. You show your image and I'll show you my image. They that receive, receive. We got to get in position in Christ. I can't even do that, but I can get into His position. And I'm going to receive the abundance of grace. And I'm going to receive the blessing of Penuel. And I'm going to receive the righteousness from the God of my salvation. They receive the abundance of grace and His gift of righteousness. They that receive, receive. We'll reign in this life. We're going to reign in the glory. Reigning in the glory. Reign. If death could be produced by one man, a Hitler, a Stalin, transgender generation, and God says, I've got a generation. That one man by one man, I'm going to bring a whole generation. And I'm going to place the crowning glory on them. they will receive it by faith. Let's all stand. Glory to God.